All right, well, today we've got a special treat. We did a switch up between Braden and myself. Usually Braden's the one leading worship, but Braden's been kind enough to prepare a message, testimony message for us today. And yeah, we're blessed to hear a word from the Lord through him. So let's go ahead and welcome Braden.
All right. Is this on? Yeah, it's good. All right. I'm on number one.
Good.
All right. Well, first of all, greetings. Mitaki Church, you guys are so blessed to have. God has given you guys great gifts in the pastors that you guys have. Pastor Kevin, Pastor Chris, Pastor Hiroshi. So really recognize that and thank God for that, because they are really helping to equip you guys and are a blessing to this church. And I know they've been a blessing to my life as I've been here. And praise the Lord for that. Well, I'll just start with introducing myself. My name is Braden Sloan, and I'm from Canada, mainly BC, British Columbia. Small town, 5,000 people. So, I mean, yeah, it takes us about 30 minutes to walk across the town. So it's pretty small. And I come from a family of five, two sisters, younger sisters. Yeah. And I'll just share a little bit about my past history. Some of you have heard already that I asked Jesus into my heart, became a Christian when I was 5 years old, on a piano bench. I just said, "Mom, I want it," and I was passionate as a five-year-old. I desired God, all of what God want or had for me as a five-year-old. And I went to Christian kindergarten, five or six. I can't really remember the age. And I remember being in the kind of small desks, and the teachers complained that I daydreamed too much. I was a daydreamer, and they were worried about me. And I remember my daydreams were very mission-oriented. I was dreaming of sharing the gospel around the world. And at that time, I really didn't understand countries. I thought Mackenzie was a huge place, and that the rest of the world was like far away. I didn't understand anything else, and I was dreaming, you know, to share the gospel like all these missionaries that I was listening to at that time. Anyways, when I was 10 years old, my family moved to Norway, and we lived there for a few years. And I got to see my first convert at the age of 10 in Norway, or missionary convert at the age of 10, my best friend in Norway. And that was a really interesting thing. You know, God birthed a desire in my daydreams to share the gospel around the world, and at the age of 10, I get to do that. Amen. And then, of course, in 2001, I was able to come to Japan. God brought me to Japan as a missionary, and I was very naive, and I want to go and share the gospel to the Japanese. I don't think I ever met a Japanese person before coming to Japan, you know. I didn't understand anything. I just was so, let's go and share the gospel to Japan. And I was very naive. And anyways, God called me to Yamaguchi City. And the church there, I praise the Lord, God brought me to the right church. And I got to see, in the 4 years that I was attending that church, I got to see amazing things. God was doing amazing things. In those 4 years, I saw, you know, the worship led from the piano moving to a youth band, you know, and just awesome worship going on. I saw them, they started an international Christian school from preschool to high school. I saw they started a Bible school, English conversation school. They hired 12 full-time workers, including in there were five missionaries, foreigners. I mean, this was big vision. And God allowed me to be a part of this in the 4 years that I was there. And I was so excited about what God was doing there. And I was involved. I was one of the foreigners that was hired full-time. And I was working, you know, doing these things. And I allowed the busyness of work, Christian work, to choke out the life of God in me. And I basically burnt out. It was my fault. I allowed the busyness of Christian work to choke out the life in me. And I entered into sin and deception. And I, you know, soon after, I found myself kicked out of the church in Yamaguchi. And I lost my dream job. That was my dream job. I loved it. I lost my dream job. I found myself alone. My friends, my church family just kind of said, we don't want you here. And I wandered for about 2.5 years in darkness by myself, angry, broken, despondent, no hope. And the whole time, the amazing thing of this whole experience of that 2.5 years of being angry and thinking, God, you're manipulating me. God, what injustice that the church would cast me out and not love me. And all these thoughts, God just continued to say to me, I love you. I love you. You know, God didn't see who I was. He sees who we are. And he saw who I am. He knows who I am. And that's when he says, I love you. Not where I'm at that point. And that's the same for all of you. Wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. He loves you. He sees who you are. He knows who you are. Even if you don't know, maybe. Anyways, after the 2.5 years, God had been preparing me to move to the next step. My boss in Tokuyama said, well, guess what? Next month, you're laid off. My contract wasn't finished. He just said, we don't need you here anymore. And you know, at that moment, peace just came. I knew that this was God. And I wasn't afraid. And then I got the opportunity to come to Hiroshima for an interview. Came, and I knew this is where I was supposed to be. And then God brought me to this church, Kentucky Church. And I tell you, for those of you that have been here, we're here in April, when I did come here the first time, I was quite different. You know, when you walk in darkness for 2.5 years, yeah. And I was no smile, hard in my heart. And in the worship, I could not sing a word. I was like this. Yeah, I'm telling you, that was a miracle what God did in me this year through this church. So I just want to praise the Lord for what he's done. And I want to thank you for being a part of his ministry in my life. All right, let's move to the message. If you would like, we're going to go to Ezekiel 37. And I tell you, there's a lot of prophetic stuff going on today. And maybe this weekend, but I came today, sat at the lunch with Fernando. And he is sitting there wearing this sweater. No, it's not trade clothes day. He was wearing this sweater and it said Ezekiel. I said, hey, that's what I'm preaching on today. He said, well, you better wear it. So that's why I'm wearing Fernando's sweater. But it was an encouragement to see, wow. And he's like, oh, I love that chapter, Ezekiel 37. And I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm preaching on that. And then I tell you, there was just several things that Roy shared at the beginning that's part of my message. And some of the words that are going out all day today have been, someone read my message. You guys already listen to it? That is my question here. But praise the Lord. God has already planned this for us today in our hearts. So let's just quickly look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. Quickly, we'll read through this. And I'll just read it here. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, which when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. Verse 14, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Amen. Well, about a month ago, or a little over a month ago, I knew of this opportunity to preach. And actually, I had expected to just share a testimony. And while I was at school, God just spoke these three words to my spirit. And I believed that these were the very words that God wanted to give to you today. And I'm going to give it to you right now. Restore, revive, and release. They're in your bulletin notes, actually. You can see them there. Restore, revive, and release. And they parallel this passage in Ezekiel 37. So first, I would like to just talk quickly about the meaning of restore. And to restore, and that's in your bulletin too, it means to return the condition to its original state, to bring back, to repair, to make restitution, bring back to a previous condition where you were. So to restore. And this word is something that God does in us. Huh. That's good, because we can't really restore ourselves. And however, there is a principle of we do something and then God reacts to us. And the principle here is found in Jeremiah 15. And you're welcome to turn to that. Jeremiah 15, verse 18 to 19. And this is actually, God continues to say these things throughout the Old Testament, and of course, in other words, in the New Testament. But let's just look here, 15, 18 to 19. Verse 18, why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand, and if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. For they for their part may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Verse 18, the question. Why has my pain been perpetual? Why is it continuing? Why, God, you're my healer. You bind up the brokenhearted. Why do I feel this pain continuing in me? And Lord, you said That there are rivers of life. Water. Healing waters. But it seems so deceptive. What's going on? My heart needs healing. You seem so unreliable. This is what he's stating this in 18, and it can be some of our cries. You know, what's going on, God? I'm still in pain. You still seem so far away. And here God says, if you return, then I will restore you. If you extract the precious from the worthless. Basically, God has said this time and again. If you return, return simply return. I mean, somewhere down the line, we were with God and we turned. And he's just saying, return. Just to return back to me. And I'll restore you. Now, what does that mean? Well, we can look at a New Testament spot in Revelations chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. So there's your New Testament command again. We all, well, a lot of us, and I can remember when I was first saved, even at 5 years old, I was passionately desiring God. And I was wanting everything. I wanted baptism. I wanted everything. I wanted to evangelize. I wanted to be a missionary. I was on fire for God at 5 years old. And a lot of you remember the days when you first received Jesus. Man, I'm pumped. I love Jesus so much. It just nothing could contain you. And then a year later, you're like, the trials. And somewhere along that road, we turn. And it may be slowly we turn. And God saying, return to your first love. I love the way you were when you first loved me. That is my desire for you. And if you can't remember the way you were when you first loved him, just pray, God, give me a first love, love for you again. Now, I want to just talk quickly, continuing on restore and returning. There are four reasons we don't return. First one, hearts have become insensitive. And that's found in Isaiah 6:10. Isaiah 6:10 says, render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. So our hearts become insensitive, hardened, if you might say. We just, that's how I was when I came to Metucky. I can't worship. I'm insensitive. Can't feel anything. I don't want to feel anything. Number two, deeds will not allow. Our deeds will not allow. What we're doing doesn't allow us to return to God. Hosea 5:4 says, their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord. A spirit of harlotry. Wow. Like a prostitute, basically. And that spirit, our deeds, that spirit of loving the world doesn't allow us to return fully to him. Number three, we refuse to. Basic, simple. We refuse to. And God calls it stubbornness or stiff-neckedness in Jeremiah 8:5. Where's my Jeremiah? Jeremiah 8:5. Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit and they refuse to return. Yeah. And fourth, fear and shame. And this one really grips the church, the modern church. Yeah, I want all of God. all these other three things are fine. We want it. I want it. But fear and shame just hold us back from really returning with all of our hearts to be restored. And the need for understanding the revelation of God's great love to you is so needed to overcome the fear and shame that keeps us from Him. And in Hebrews 4:16, we're said, come boldly, come with confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy in the time of need. There's saying you can have confidence no matter where you are. Don't let fear, don't let shame hold you back from me. Amen. Anyways, let's just move on. Last thing, Lamentations 5:21, there's a prayer in there that says, restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Renew our days as of old, the days when we were so in love with you. I mean, that's my cry. And I even want to exceed that. But I believe that God gives us a gift when we get saved, when we first experienced Him. It's almost like a gift, that passion, that love, that fire is a gift in us that when we go through the trials, we can say, ah, I want that again, God. Give me that gift again to love you the way I loved you when I first accepted you, when I first received you. All right. And you might wonder, what is he talking about? I thought we were reading Ezekiel 37. We are. I link this, I parallel the word restore to the vision where he sees the bone connects to bone, the flesh and the sinews come on and the skin comes on. There's a restoration of the body. And we all need a certain amount of restoration in our lives. So every day, since God has been speaking this message to me, because it's a personal message also, I'm part of Mitaki. I am going every morning, restore me. I return to you. Lord, if last night, in my dreams, in my sleeping, did I turn from you? I want to return to you. Restore me. Restore. Let not there be waters that are deceitful, because God, you are the healer. You truly want to heal me and restore me. All right, and let's go to the word revive. This is good. And in Ezekiel 37, it talks about the breath of the Spirit. I'll put my breath in you to revive. This word means, where did I put my paper? There it is. And you have it in your bulletin. I should just read my bulletin. To bring back to life, to regain consciousness, to animate. God wants to revive us with His Spirit. And in verse 14, it talks about that, that the breath is His Spirit, and He wants to breathe it into us. We could talk for about 24 hours on the Spirit, and probably more, on all of what the Spirit means to the church and such. I want to keep it simple and short here today. I love what Roy introduced, the Holy Spirit. He is what we need to revive us. And I believe there's two purposes of the Holy Spirit for the church, is to give life and to give us power. Ah, life. Life just means living, active, not dead, inactive. There's a certain life when the Holy Spirit gets in you, in the church, it's moving and it's powerful and it does something. And let's look at, well, in Romans 8:5-11, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to say that in there, Paul is talking about the flesh and the Spirit and how we need to walk by the Spirit. And I believe that in Ezekiel 37, where he's saying, I'm going to breathe my breath of Spirit in you, we need that every day. We need that every day. And you know, in John 20:22, Jesus, after he's resurrected, He visits his disciples. Where is it? And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's almost like he was reading Ezekiel 37. I don't know. He just knew that there's a breath, a breathing, a prophesying through the breath. We need the Spirit, the breath of the Spirit, every day. New, fresh, new. Now, we, theologically, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, yes. But we need the breath, the freshness, the life, the power every day. You know, how many of us struggle with the flesh? And you know, Romans 8, it talks about the war between the flesh and the spirit. And they're always fighting. And we struggle. It's a daily struggle. And the spirit is the walk, the life after the spirit is what we need. But it's just not, okay, well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 10, so that's good enough for the rest of my life. We need that freshness. It's like, Jesus, breathe on me. And you know, we rely on our breath so much to live, right? We rely on breathing to do our actions, to go about our life. But what about relying on the Spirit's breath to do our daily actions? It kind of changes things in our mind. Okay, God, as much as I need the natural breath to function today, I need your spiritual breath, your spirit. Breathe in me that I might walk and live by the Spirit. Revive me according to your spirit. And so, anyways, in Ezekiel 37, we see the restoration of the body. And then the reviving by the Spirit. Good. That's good. We're done. We're done. Well, let's look at verse 10 in Ezekiel 37. And I love this. This is like the pinnacle point of it all. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Bones, army. Okay, these bones were people. It didn't say an exceedingly great people or multitude of people. The actual word was army. Army. That image to me is warriors. Strong warriors, ready for battle. And I believe that the word for us is release. In the third word, release, because God wants to release his army. We struggle with the flesh, the world, and demonic principalities. Those three, the Bible says, are our enemies. And our battle is with them over a nation. You know, Jesus, and it says in 1 John, we'll just, let me find that. 1 John 3:8. I love what it says, basically. It should be our Christian motto. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, we're supposed to be followers, imitators of Christ. Greater works shall you do than what I did on earth. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Everywhere he went in the Gospels, he is tearing down the works of the devil. But you know, in Luke 4, the whole chapter first says, he was full of the Spirit. He was anointed of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. I mean, first there are these things. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need it to be released to fight the flesh, the world, and Satan. And I believe as an army, he already calls you an army. He already sees you as an army, wherever you are. I'm broken. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm a guy with panic attacks, or I'm a guy with these addictions and such. I'm not ready. He already sees you. He says, I love you. I see who you are. You are an army. You are a warrior. No matter how you feel and how you see yourself. And you know what? He wants to release you into that. The fact is, you're a great army. Mitaki Church, how many are there here? 20? And he still says, you're a great army. You're part of a great army. And our purpose, his calling on our lives is basically destroy the works of the devil. And that can vary in several ways. In just your speech to your friends, inviting to church, handing out tracts. It's tearing down the works of the devil. I'm sorry here. Let's see. Well, Lord. I was meditating upon this scripture and upon the actual word release, and I saw us as a church in the trenches. In World War I, there was a lot of trench warfare. And the church, a modern-day church, is sitting in the trenches going, okay, we're holding our fort. We're holding our ground. And God is calling us out of the trenches to be an army to fight for Him. There is so much going on in the world. There's so much going on in Hiroshima that needs an army that's going to stop sitting in the trenches and start moving and be released. Be released! Get out of your trenches. You know that trench, there is a disease that was in that day that came from trench warfare. It was called trench foot. Basically, the foot just, when they were in there too long, the foot swelled up. And if they weren't taken out of the trench, they had to get actually amputation. And we get offenses. We get offended with one another. We have problems with one another because, well, we're huddling into these trenches for so long, and God has said, I want to release you. I want to send you out. And I'm not telling you, you've got to storm Hiroshima, but in these small ways, God wants to release you by His Spirit, anointed. I mean, Jesus was, He said that, He quoted Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4. We'll end with this. Can I ask Paulo, can you go up to the drums for a moment? Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. There was Jesus' mandate, His goal, His motto. That was what it's being fulfilled in this day. And He went and He did it. And it's the same for us. He has anointed us to do the same works, greater works than He did, because our aim is to tear down the works of the devil in this day. And I'm just going to, I want Paulo to just lead us in some music and basically just prophesy to our hearts today. Go ahead, Paulo, just quietly for a moment. Go ahead. And I want you to just think about the three words that God has for you today. I know it's a mouthful, a lot of things that I said. Restore, revive, and release. And I want to take a minute and just ponder your heart. Ponder in your heart. Where do I want to be restored? Where have I left my first love? I want to return in this area. I want to return with all my heart. God, help me to return. Just take a few moments to... Jesus. Revive me, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask for your breath. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just wait on you and we say, God, we want restoration. We want revival, reviving our heart by your Spirit, reviving life, animation again. And Lord, we ask for a release. Release me, release me, release me to do the works that Jesus did. Lord, whatever's keeping me back, release me. Send me out. Send me out. Okay. I'll just ask. Yeah, keep going, Paula. I'm going to ask you to respond to this, and not in a crazy manner, but I just want to participate with the Word of God today. And that means I just want you to stand up if you want these things in your three things in your life, and you want the evidence, the reality of the army, the warrior that God calls you to be in this day and age. If you want it, and you're saying, God, restore me. I return to you. Revive me. Fill me with the breath. And if you want to be released. I mean, that those three things are heavy. And no one's going to judge you. This is all about love. God loves you so much. He just wants you to understand this is your identity. So if you want this, I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to stand up if you want it. Participate with the Word of God in active participation. So go ahead. Those of you that want it, stand up. I'm not even going to look. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit just do what He wants. Minister to our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the identity of your church. That we're not weak, we're not frail, we're not a broken people. You see us as an army. And I just pray right now for your church in Kentucky. Restore the broken hearts. Restore them. Lord, I ask that you would restore the first love, the energy, the passion, the desire after you. Lord, that all my heart, all my strength, I love you. All that I am, Lord, I put that. I place that in their hearts, God. Holy Spirit, put that in their hearts. That returning to the first love, that first love, the gift of their first love. Restore the brokenness. Restore the desolation. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, Holy Spirit, we receive right now your breath, your filling, your anointing. Yes, to revive, to animate, to bring life. And Lord, I also pray for a release in Jesus' name. A release of your army. A release. Lord, send out your servants. Send them out with the power of the Holy Spirit. With the power of your Holy Spirit, send them out to do and to destroy the works of the devil. In this age, in this city, I pray, anoint them, fill them, Lord, right now. I just pray that, Lord, you do the work. You minister deeply in Jesus' name. Chris, if you want to. Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just stand in agreement with the word that you have for us. Heavenly Father, you have called us not to be a church of dry, dead bones. You've called us to be the living church, people alive with flesh and skin, in a voice that would cry out and prophesy to the nations. Lord, we stand in agreement with that. And Father, we want to live a life that is worthy of your call upon us, Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not already standing, I would invite you to stand as we're going to sing our closing song together.